Hi, this is Chris McGregor. The work of Discerning Hearts really could not continue without your prayers and support. Between now and December 31st, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Discerning Hearts. We are a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. Your donation is fully tax-deductible to the extent permitted by law. Click the donate button on discerninghearts.com or inside the Discerning Hearts free app. Your generous support will allow us to continue producing the type of spiritual formation programming you have come to expect from us, like those from Archbishop George Lucas, Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Monsignor John Esef, and so many more. Please prayerfully consider supporting our mission, which is dedicated to those on the spiritual journey. Thank you, and God bless from all of us at Discerning Hearts.
DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Esef. Monsignor Esef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esef encountered St. Padre Pio, who became a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, and seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
How's it going, Monsignor?
Well, we had a great day yesterday of prayer. The people who are in the 12-step program, alcoholics, drug addicts, Al-Anon, sex addicts, Gamblers Anonymous, just have been and all in recovery, all certainly glorifying God. They're staying in God's grace. Well, this group, you know, they're keeping God's commandments, and they're all very happy with their state of grace. They have been very long, many years in addiction, close to death, right on the brink of despair. And they just come back, and they remind me of a whole group of people who had been lost and they were found. And so when they all get together, and it's mature, you know, it's not an untested kind of group, and it's not a hollow alleluia, but they're an alleluia people who have many grave difficulties and sufferings and need to repair for some of the things and many of the things they did in the past. And I have the glorious time I have at those meetings and retreats, hearing confessions, and the repentant sinner. It's just a glorious time for me. And this is called a third step retreat. The first step is that they recognize that they are powerless and bankrupt and really they can't do anything. Every single Christian who is going to advance in spirituality must recognize that. But how often the people in our congregations feel self-sufficient, they are self-reliant and self-made men, and they are still more relying on themselves rather than on God. And the theme for the day was faith, total and complete dependence on God, and how God dispels all fears. And our lead model for this, for the retreat, was Mary. As she stood before God, and God is asking her, "Will you be the mother of my son?" You know, when you ponder what a request that was of God for a young girl. And Mary said, was troubled at his greeting. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. And would she have to give up her virginity? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the one to be born of you will be the Son of the Most High. and he will take over the throne of David, his father, and his kingship will last forever. And she now is going to become the mother of God. And this son of hers is going to be an eternal king. And Mary says, "Let it be done to me according to your word." Mary has faith. She is the most powerful example of human surrender to God's will, to faith. And the magnificent result of her faith was the incarnation. God became a human in the womb of Mary. And during these days of Advent, she's there in the church for us as a model, the pregnant mother. And so all of you who have born children, you mothers, all of you fathers who have been awaiting and expecting a child, this is the image for you in these days of preparation for Christmas. Joseph and Mary, awaiting the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ. We do know that he was born. All time has been split by his birth. But look at the magnificent faith she had. She doesn't run around and tell Joseph, "Oh, I'm pregnant by God, by the Holy Spirit." Joseph goes through his difficulties. He's going to put her away. There's this whole suspicion of adultery. And she, knowing her purity, knowing her faith, trusting, what was her inner self, her inner immaculate heart? Calm, trust. God, you ask me to do this, you're going to take care of it. The result, an angel reveals to Joseph, "Do not be afraid, Joseph. This child has been born of God, the Holy Spirit, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Now he becomes someone who is going to assist her and be with her through this pregnancy. And so I believe, you know, at the meeting yesterday, there were those who had lost pretty high power jobs, and they were there. They don't have positions, and they've been unemployed for some time, seeking work. And what is God saying to them? Trust. Magnificent stories yesterday of those who shared. There was an awful lot of fear there at that meeting. So an awful lot of fear, I imagine, are among all of you who are listening. The employment situation can cause you this particular Advent time anxiety, worry, fear. There was a man there who was injured, and he's not sure his job is going to be there. Anger, frustration, and fear. He's been off for months. It was just so wonderful to be there, to listen, to have people voice their fears, and to have example of faith. I was really just struck by a woman was there, beautiful, beautiful lady. I asked her if she would mind telling her story. 17 years ago, pretty much alcoholism is like an inherited tendency and disease. And she was not touched by the disease, but she comes from a family of nine. She had four members of her family that were addicted. But now she herself was suffering from multiple sclerosis, and she was blind and paralyzed. And through some miracle and happening, she was able to go to Lourdes. Her whole desire to go to Lourdes was to receive a cure. And she finally got to Lourdes. And she was standing there right where the waters of Lourdes was. this person, she said, was so attentive to her and recognized and could almost see where this disease was taking over her body and was about to put her into the pool and instructing her. And as she was coming to Mary and offering her request, right there at Lourdes, her request was for the sobriety of those members of her family who were addicted, for her daughter, who was so angry with her for having divorced her father, and they wanted to have some kind of reconciliation, and for another friend who was suffering. And this was what she asked for. And then she was plunged into the pool. She received an instantaneous cure from blindness and a freedom from her paralysis. And here she is now, testifying to this. 17 years later, she got up yesterday and told this story. You know, I had heard about so many magnificent miracles at Lourdes, how important it is we hear about a person's faith. But what I heard from Helen was more than faith and a miracle. I heard her love, that when it came right down to it, she put aside her own blindness and paralysis, and her request was for her family. When she returned home, her request for sobriety, all of those members that she was praying for were there yesterday at that meeting. Her daughter and she had reconciled, and the other request that she had prayed for was answered on her return. Love is even a greater miracle than the miracle, and that's what I heard. And she has lived a life. This woman is so astounding, in my opinion. Helen, it was such an she was like meeting her yesterday. It was like meeting Mary. And everyone there who knows her talks about how she ministers to people in the community. What an example she is. The liturgy really today, when we read from the prophet Baruch, Jerusalem, take off your robes of mourning, put on the splendor of glory and triumph. You are wrapped in a cloak of justice from God. Bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name, for God will show all the earth your splendor. You are the new Jerusalem. We are the new Jerusalem. This is up. Up, Jerusalem. Stand up. Stand upon the heights. Look to the east and see your children gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are renewed and remembered by God. This is not a time of gloom and darkness and depression. The church is saying to us here in these readings, God is saying to us, rejoice. Our redemption is here. This is not a time of darkness and gloom. This is a time for joy and happiness and peace. Again, I pray, Paul says, brothers and sisters, always with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus' coming. God is my witness how I long for you, all of you, with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love for one another will increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. So everything is like so upbeat today that no, this is not gloom and doom and death and sorrow. No, this is really a glorious and wonderful day.
We'll return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essig in just a moment. Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Mauritius Fildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today. A Prayer for the Holy Souls in Purgatory by St. Gertrude the Great. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, for those in my home and in my family. Amen. We now return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essig.
And now we have that great sign of Advent, John the Baptist. It's funny, you know, when I hear John the Baptist as he comes along in today's gospel, I've just been waiting for him to come. Ta-da! There he is. He comes on the scene, and he's, you know, that whole theme that is picked up, that he's like a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain lowered. The winding road shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh we'll see the salvation of God. It's coming. It's happening in all the world. And so, beloved Pope, beloved bishops, rejoice. You're leading your people in conquest because the Lord is coming. We have not lost. No, we are claiming our victory. When Jesus suffered and died in Jerusalem, he rose again. When Jesus suffered and died in Jerusalem, the veil was split and the new king had come. Look at your crucifix. Jesus Nazarenus Rex, the king. And now he's going to come. He died in ignominy and he rose from the dead in glory. And now he will come in glory. This Christmas, we celebrate how he came in humility, in simplicity, in poverty. And now we're waiting for him to come in glory, to claim the entire universe. It belongs to him. It belongs to us. And we are going out, and we, in his name, are going to conquer. I don't know if you knew this about me, Chris, but I see a lot of kids today. They play midget football, and they were trained in football. But when I was growing up, boxing was a big thing as a child. And in all the kind of neighborhoods around, especially the Northeast, where that grew up a lot of boxers, but also throughout the country, boxing was a big thing. And that's a great sport. When you're in there, all these football teams are getting ready for the playoffs, and you got 11 men in there. And now the NBA and basketball is a big thing. You got five people on the court. But in boxing, you're the only guy in there. And that other guy's out to kill you. So this kid was, you know, he didn't know much about the sport. And this is the story they tell him. He was a good, strong kid. And they thought, well, he'd stand up against this kid who was really quite good as a boxer. So he goes in the first round, and his opponent is hammering him, smashing him all around the ring, hitting him and knocking him, punching him. So he comes back to his corner after a three-minute round, and he's sitting there. His coach is saying to him, giving him water on his face and blood is running down his nose. And he said, "Kid, you're doing great. That guy's not landing a glove on you. Go out and get him this round." He was urging him to go out and get the other guy this round. He said, "Would you mind watching that referee if he's not laying a glove on me?" Well, I think that's the way a lot of Catholic Christians are, especially when I meet them these days. So down. We're getting beat up. We're getting knocked around. You know, listen, we are winning. We are the winner. It looks like we're being beaten up. You see, when Jesus said the Beatitudes, he was saying, "Blessed are you who mourn. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are peacemakers. Blessed are you when they persecute you and say every manner of ill against you." And the church is saying the same thing to us today. Rejoice. Be glad. Your reward is great in heaven. You know, I think so many of us are like wimps. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And when you're in union with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit gives us this power, gives us this grace. And this second Sunday of Advent, we hold our head up high and we rejoice. On this Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, the church is saying to you, let your light shine. Let your beauteous values and glory and splendor put on your robes of goodness and love. You know, when Helen stands up and says what she says in her faith, in her love, that's conquering power. And so all of us have that same power in Jesus, with Jesus, and through Jesus today. As you go to Mass, as you're cloaked and robed in Christ, O Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Only say the word, and my soul will be healed. All of us, each and every time we go to the Eucharist, are being clothed and bathed and strengthened in the power of Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the triumphant Lord, and I am coming. Do not be afraid." And I encourage all of you to prepare yourselves for the coming of the Lord, and rejoice. Jerusalem, rejoice. You are the new Jerusalem, and you are going to be coming down from heaven in glory and splendor, and joined to your Lord and Master, our head, the head of the body, the church. It's a glorious day. Yesterday, the magnificent feast of the Immaculate Conception, and today, the second Sunday of Advent. As we advance as a community, Jerusalem, all over the world, lift up your head and rejoice. Rejoice, suffering people of China. Rejoice, suffering people of the Islamic world. Rejoice, suffering people in Africa, wherever you may be. Here in the United States, rejoice. Our Lord is coming, and he is going to claim those who are with him and in him and who are united to him. And we are going to have a glorious and eternal home with him in heaven. Eternal splendor is what Baruch predicted today. And so did Paul. And they're in glory with God.
Final thoughts, Monsignor?
I'm just going to ask St. Juan Diego to pray for us. And as we celebrate this day, as you mentioned, between December the 8th and December the 12th, when we look forward to the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and let him stand out a little bit, also an example. I think of the people that I meet and that you meet today, but let us all ask God to have us be filled with love. And you know, when I think of each of us, you can hear the word, but unless the Holy Spirit convicts us in our hearts, nothing is going to happen. So my final word is, may God the Father sanctify you. May Jesus, the Son of God, inflame your hearts with divine love. And may the Holy Spirit make holy each one of us who is listening. And Mary, intercede for all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.